followers of Jesus, you and me, that we're called to be ready at all times to proclaim and to patiently teach God's truth in whatever ministry context God has given.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
Well, our message today touches on that very theme of faithfulness, of the call of God to each of us to be faithful in proclaiming His Word, to endure with Christ. But as we have just been reminded so powerfully there, that faithfulness on our part, it's only because God, His faithfulness is great to us first, isn't it? He is indeed a great and faithful God, and we give thanks, Lord, for that. Well, I wonder, have you ever thought of yourself as a preacher? Anyone? So, well, here's the news. You know, it's like all of us, in one sense or another, are called to preach the word. You might think, oh, wait a minute, I'm not a pastor. I'm not standing up on Sunday morning over there. And that's true. God is not for every person to stand up here and to preach in that sense. But all of us are called to faithfully proclaim the truths of God's word, whether we're standing up here or it's in our homes or in the workplace, wherever it might be. All of us are called to be faithful preachers or proclaimers of God's word. And so then today, as we continue in our series in 2 Timothy, we come to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, and this command to preach the word, to preach the word. And there we'll see that followers of Jesus, you and me, that we're called to be ready at all times to proclaim and to patiently teach God's truth in whatever ministry context God has given. You know, all of us have been given some place of service, some way of serving, and all of us are called then to be faithful and to fulfill that ministry that He has given to us then. So before we look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, a little context for our text here. You recall in this letter here, Paul is speaking to his young protege, Timothy, who was a young pastor, and he is encouraging Timothy to stand firm, in the face of persecution and false teaching, which was coming into the church then. And he wants Timothy to be an approved worker who need not be ashamed, an approved worker for God who is holding fast to right doctrine and right living. He says, Timothy, cleanse yourself from ungodly teaching and living, because the last days are going to be characterized by that kind of godlessness, that false teachers will oppose God's truth, but their folly will be exposed. But you, Timothy, and you and me, let us continue in what we have learned. And we have a powerful resource in the Word of God, in the God-breathed Scriptures, the inspired Scriptures here, which will teach us, which will correct us, which will rebuke us, train us in righteousness, and equip us for every good work. And so, speaking of the Scripture, speaking of the Word of God, let's look at our text here today in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Paul says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing and His kingdom, preach the Word. Be ready, in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded. Endure suffering and do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Now, as we look at this text here and what Paul is saying to Timothy and what he is saying to us then, I want us to understand this on a couple of different levels here. First, I want us to see this as Paul's message to a young pastor. You know, this book, 2 Timothy, along with Titus and 1 Timothy, are called the pastoral epistles because they were written by Paul to young pastors to help encourage them to serve as pastors, as leaders in the church in which God had placed them. And so there is a context of that that we need to understand, that he's speaking to pastors. But that doesn't mean, though, that there isn't truth or principles in that for all of us, because there is. So first I want us to understand the level of Paul speaking to a pastor, but then also see what he is saying then, the truth that is in there for you and for me, for all of us then, the truth that is in there. So first, this message to a young pastor here. Paul says, I charge you, that is, I encourage you, I remind you very solemnly of this fact, Timothy. I remind you that in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, what? That Jesus, that he will judge all people. He says he will judge the living and the dead. So it says, who are the living? Those are what? The people who are alive when Christ comes. Is Christ coming again? Yes, he is, right? And when he comes again, he is going to judge all the living at that time. But it isn't only those who are living at that time who will be judged by Christ. Who else will be? All who have lived before then, the dead. He will judge the living and the dead, all people. And you know, it's also true, though, that this judgment of Christ is all people of all time, and that includes believers and unbelievers alike. Now, it's not the same kind of judgment for the believer as it is for the unbeliever, but there is a judgment, an examination, if you will. How many of you liked taking tests in school? Examinations, right? Right? So the purpose of an examination was to do what? It was, hopefully, its purpose was to show what you have truly learned, what you know and you don't know, right? Well, there's going to be a final exam as well for every person, alive or dead, throughout all history. Believer or not believer, there's going to be an examination of sorts. But there's a difference, though, between the examination or the judgment for the believer and the one for the unbeliever. But there will be a judgment of sorts. So, Timothy, you, me, remember that. Live your life in light of the fact that there's going to be an accounting. Now, isn't it true that if people think that they don't have to give accountability, what happens when people think that there's no accountability and that they're not going to have to give an answer for anything? Well, I guess they can just do whatever they want then, right? I can do whatever if I don't have to give an account. And a lot of people go through life living that way, thinking that way, right? But is it true? No. Scripture says everyone, there's going to be an accounting in one sense or another. There's going to be an accounting. So I charge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, as he is coming again, and he is going to rule over all the earth, and he will judge all persons. There is a judgment of the believer. We call that in Scripture what? The judgment seat of Christ. We read about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where Paul says, speaking to believers there, he says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And we're given a little more information about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Listen to this as it says here. Now understand, this judgment of believers, this judgment seat of Christ, is not about punishment, and it's not about sin. It's what? It is about reward. It's an evaluation of our works and how we have lived for Christ. And the purpose of it is that he might then reward, okay? So for my sin, your sin, if we have believed in Jesus, has that been judged? Yes, it has, once and for all time, in Christ, in the death of Christ. And you and I are not going to be judged or punished for that because it's already been done once for all time. Amen? Amen. Amen. But does it matter, then, how we live our lives as believers?
Yes.
Absolutely. But what's the purpose of it? The purpose is to reward. And so when he looks at your life, at my life, he's going to see some things that maybe weren't really worthy of him. Or am I alone in that, in thinking that? He's going to see some things that weren't worthy of him. And those things are just going to be burned up and go away, right? But he is going to see things that were worthy of him, that pleased him, that were praiseworthy, things that were done for him, services of acts of true love and kindness and goodness, faithfulness. He's going to see those and he's going to reward those, a reward that will last forever. So listen to what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12. He's talking about building on a foundation of our lives. He says, "Now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest. For the day of his judgment, will disclose it. Because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. And if the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire." See, so all of us, as we are saved in Christ, we have the foundation of Christ. We are forgiven for our sin. We have the gift of eternal life. But now this foundation, we must build on the foundation. And so do you want to build that foundation, what, with gold, silver, precious stones? Or wood, hay, or straw? Now, if you were going to, if I had some things for, if I had a big box here, and I told you, well, in this box right here, I have gold, I have silver, I have precious stones, diamonds, rubies, emeralds. This box right here, I've got a bunch of wood and straw and hay. Which box would you want me to open up and hand out to you? The gold, the precious stones, the silver, right? Because what? Because that's the good, that's the valuable stuff, right? The wood, the hay, and the straw. Now, there's nothing wrong with wood, hay, or straw because it serves its purpose, right? But compared to, it's talking about the value of it, right? The value of gold, silver, precious stones versus wood, hay, and straw. We want to build the foundation of our lives with the things that are good and valuable and that we're going to last forever. The gold, the precious stones, and so these are the things that have been done for Christ, the things that have honored him. It's our character. It's how we have spoken to people. It's what we have done. It's how we've served people. It's how we've loved people. It's everything that brings honor to Christ. But what's the wood, the hay, the straw? Well, those are the things that didn't honor Christ. It's our sins, yes, sins we've committed, but maybe it's sins of omission as well, things we should have done that we didn't. Maybe it's something we said to someone. Wood, hay, straw, that stuff is going to be burnt up. But the good stuff, that's going to last. And again, the purpose of the God, it's not so that Jesus can wag his finger at us. It's so that he can do what? He can reward us for the good stuff. The gold, the silver, the precious. But it's important for us to understand all of those good things, did you really do those yourself? Now, even that was God working in you. That was God working in me, wasn't it? Even that. So he's going to receive the glory and the honor. I love that picture in Revelation where God has rewarded his servants with these crowns. And what do? With their crowns? They take them and they throw them, they cast them before us. They're casting crowns. That'd be a great name for a music group, don't you think? So they throw those out, you know, they throw them before him. Because they realize even the reward, it's only because of his mercy and his goodness and his power that acted in them, isn't it? So there will be reward or there will be loss. I think it's important for us to know then too that there are things that we may think are gold or silver or precious stone, but on that day it's going to be revealed to be wood or hay or straw. Why? Because we were doing it for the wrong reasons, the wrong motives, right? And then there may be other things that we didn't think were all that important at all. But God saw it and he said, that's gold right there. He is the judge. He will see he will reward. But even if all that stuff that does get burned up, I'm so comforted by verse 15. If anyone's work is burned up, he'll suffer loss, that is the loss of reward, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Isn't that good news? Yeah. The purpose of this judgment, of this judgment seat of Christ for the believer, isn't to determine our destiny, our eternal destiny. It's to reward. And even if there's a lot of things that end up getting burnt up, we'll still be saved. You still have Christ. You still have eternal life. And boy, that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? It's a wonderful thing. So that's the judgment seat of Christ for the believer. But then Scripture also speaks, though, of a judgment of all, of the wicked, of unbelievers. We read about that as we, it's called the Great White Throne Judgment in Revelation 20. And in there you see then that that God is also then going to judge the wicked according to what they have done as well, according to their works. That all believers will be forever in the presence of God. All the wicked will be forever separated from God. Believers will be rewarded for their works. But the wicked will also be judged according to their works. It's not a one-size-fits-all judgment. God will judge every person individually according to what they have done. So in light of all of that, that's a sobering thought, isn't it? Believer and unbeliever alike, that's a sobering thought. So Paul says, in light of that then, I charge you. Well, what must I do then? What must I do, Timothy? Pastor, what must you do? Preach the word. Preach the word when it's convenient and when people want to hear it. No. No. Preach the word when? Always. In season and out of season. When it's in fashion and when it's not. Do we have any fashion mavens here? I think we've got some. We've got a few. You don't have to admit to it, but I know you are, okay? And so you're wondering, what's the latest? What's in season, right? What's the fashion today, right? What's the latest from Paris or Milan or New York, right? I know too much about fashion, don't I? So anyway, actually, some of you would say, actually, you don't know enough about fashion. So anyway... Yeah, you would never say it, but you'd think it, wouldn't you? That's the key. So remember the judgment seat of Christ, Lynn. So there you go. So in season and out of season, what? When it's in style or when it's not? When it's acceptable or when it's not? When it's convenient or when it's not? When people respond gladly or they don't? Preach the word. Why? Because God is going to judge the living and the dead. Preach the word always, in season and out of season. Now, I think as a pastor here, this is one of the primary elements of ministry that God gives to pastors is to preach the word. Always, in season and out of season, regardless of whether it's acceptable or not, whether it's fashionable or not, whether it's wanted or not, to preach the word. And I think it's important. This is why it's so important too then, because unfortunately, sometimes there are a number of churches or ministries where they've kind of gotten away from preaching the word. And sometimes those sermons become like little lessons on motivation, like little motivational speeches and how your life can be better. Now, I agree that when we are preaching the Word of God, it's going to affect our motivations, right? It's going to affect how we live. It's going to affect our relationships. It's going to do all of those things. But the pulpit is not the place to be giving a little challenge about how you can live your best life now, right? Now, I agree, we should be living our best life now, but how? According to how God has spoken in His Word, right? All of Scripture, the whole counsel of Scripture. Expository preaching means opening up the Scriptures, whether it's going through a verse, a passage, a book, Open it up. Interpret it, Pastor. Apply it, Pastor. Teach your people. Expository. Preach the word. Don't get up, read a couple of verses, and then start expounding on whatever is on your mind that day and some motivational lesson, right? Preach the word. And be ready, be prepared to do it in season and out at all times. And as you're preaching the word, as we read last time about the power of God's word, the power of God's word to correct us, to rebuke us, to train us, instruct us in all righteousness, prepare us for every good work. As we do that, what's going to happen? It's going to correct, rebuke, and encourage people. So, Pastor, preach the word always. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage with good teaching. So when we correct or reprove, it's correcting wrong thinking, wrong doctrine. It's correcting wrong belief, wrong attitudes. It's saying, well, you're over here, but God's word says this, so let's move over to here. Right doctrine, right thinking, right attitudes, right living. Rebuke. Well, what's when we rebuke, what do we do? What are we doing? We're calling out sin. We're calling sin, sin. And we're calling on people to repent from that sin, to admit it as sin, to confess it, to repent, to turn away from it. That's the ministry of rebuke. Reprove, to correct wrong doctrine, wrong living. Rebuke, calling out sin, calling for repentance and turning from it. But then here's my favorite part. Encourage. Encourage, that's exhort. Exhort means to give commandments or encourage from the scripture. Encouragement does what? It strengthens us. It builds us up in right doctrine and right living. Patience. But to do so with patience. And a warning, people will seek out teachers who will tell them they want to hear. Said that in the last days, and by the way, when are the last days? Right now, okay? It says people, they won't, in the time will come, they will not endure sound. They don't want to hear that. Why? Because this is the greatest news you could possibly ever hear. Well, why wouldn't someone want to hear that? Well, because along with it is some things people don't want to hear. And so they don't want to hear that. And so what will they do instead? They'll seek out what they do want to hear, right? So the time will come then when the people will, they won't endure sound doctrine, but rather they'll seek out teachers who tell them what they want to hear. Do you like to be told the truth about yourself? Who of us really likes that, right? Now, if it's a good thing, we'd like to hear it, right? But do you like when someone points out to you the truth about yourself that's not so good? Well, what's the solution to that? Well, go find somebody who will tell you what you want to hear instead, right? Is that a good idea? To turn away from the truth so that you can hear what you want to hear instead? No. So people then, they'll reject the truth because they don't want to hear the truth about themselves. And they'll chase after myths. Anything and everything but the truth of God's word. But you, Timothy, you faithful pastor, you must remain sober-minded, level-headed. Keep your head. Don't fall for that. Don't become a part of that stuff. But you remain firm in the word. Remain level-headed, sound in doctrine. And as you do that, you're going to endure suffering. There's a cost to being faithful to Christ, faithful to his word. Endure suffering. Proclaim the gospel. Carry out your ministry. Fulfill the ministry you have been given, Timothy. I say, okay, well, that was a message here from Paul to Timothy, specifically, from Paul to pastors more generally. But what about me? I'm not a pastor. Well, there's a message in here for all of us, though, in this, isn't there? There's a message for all followers of Jesus. And it's going to be pretty similar to what we've just seen here. And it's this. Remember that Jesus will judge all people. You and I, he's not going to just judge pastors. He's going to judge all followers. He's going to judge all people, right? We're all going to give an account. So remember that. And he's going to judge the wicked as well. Remember that. In light of that, what should we do? Well, Pastor, you preach the word, but as a follower of Jesus, you too, you're not a preacher who stands up here on a Sunday morning, but you are to proclaim God's truth. You preach the word too in that sense, don't you? By proclaiming God's truth, by holding fast to it, being faithful to it, proclaiming it, whether it's, and when, always, in season, or not, whether it's popular or not, whether it's well received or not, whether people want to hear it or not. Now, is there a place for tactfulness in proclaiming God's truth? How many of you know, if you want to raise your hand, you can do it. Okay. How many of you know that maybe you've seen someone who perhaps was saying the right thing, but really maybe there is a better way or a better time to say that? Okay? Okay, who's been guilty of it? I know one person here has, right? Yeah. Right? There's a place for wisdom. There's wisdom is called for, right? But to be silent is dishonoring to God and His Word, isn't it? And it's hurtful to people as well, isn't it? So proclaim God's truth, whether it's well received or not. Correct and encourage one another. All of us are called to what? Keep an eye out for one another. To correct, to rebuke, to encourage. That's a ministry for all of us to do that. And then also what? Don't chase after popular preachers and fads that tell you only what you want to hear. And there's a lot of them out there, aren't there? Chase after solid teaching, solid doctrine. Not what you want to hear, not the latest fad. Remain well-grounded then in solid biblical doctrine. Endure suffering for Christ. Proclaim the gospel in word and deed. You know, when we preach or when we evangelize, it isn't just our word. You know what's even more important than our words is our actions, our lives, right? They speak volumes, don't they? Now, that doesn't mean you don't ever speak, but it does mean, just remember, there's an even bigger witness than your words, and that's your life. That's my life, right? Be faithful, then, in the place of service God has given you. God has given a ministry, a place of service for every one of us. Many of you are faithfully serving in those things. Some of you might wonder, well, what is my place? What is my place of service? Stay tuned for the 2020 vision. You're going to have a chance to think about that some more, okay? Be faithful, though, wherever you are, wherever God has placed you, whatever God has given you, be faithful in that. Well, there's some great lessons for spiritual maturity, for spiritual leadership here. Very quickly here then. Again, this is going to sound familiar. We repeat. Why do we repeat? We repeat because this is the good stuff that we need to repeat, right? Spiritually maturing persons always proclaim God's truth, no matter the reception. Yes, there's wisdom called for and tactfulness and right timing and all of that. But don't be silent when we should speak. Spiritually maturing persons correct and encourage other believers. They stay grounded in solid doctrine. They endure suffering for Christ. They share the gospel. And they fulfill their ministry. So what? What should I do today with this? Well, followers of Jesus are called to be ready when? At all times to proclaim and patiently teach God's truth in whatever ministry context God has given. We're not all in the same, we don't all have the same place of service. We don't all have the same life circumstances, do we? But we have all been given the precious truth of the gospel and God's word. And we're all called to be faithful to that. We're all called to minister to that in whatever context God has placed us, whatever gifting and abilities He's given us. Fulfill your ministry. So what should I do? Preach the word. Doesn't mean you stand up here on a Sunday morning, necessarily. Some of you do have. Some of you, some others of you are going to. That's a promise. That's a threat. I mean, a promise. There. So, preach the word. All of us are called to proclaim God's truth. All of us are preachers in that sense, aren't we? Stay grounded, everybody. Preacher and parishioner alike must stay grounded in God's word and God's truth. And everybody, all of us, don't quit. Preach the word, stay grounded, don't quit, endure. Knowing that Christ will reward forever. That's great news. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that we're not stumbling in darkness, but you've given us the light of Jesus and the light of your word to guide our paths. And I pray, Father, that we would indeed be faithful to preach the word, to proclaim your truth, whether it's fashionable or not, whether it's well received or not, whether it's convenient or not. May we preach the word. May we correct one another, and also, Lord, may we listen to one another. Sometimes it feels easier to correct others and not so easy to be corrected ourselves. I pray, Lord, that we would be open to the correction of others, and that, Lord, we would patiently endure, that we would proclaim the gospel, that we would fulfill the ministry that you have given to each one of us. And, Lord, we are faithful only because you are first faithful to us. Great is thy faithfulness. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.